Something occurred. What it was, 3 years ago, we started attending in this hall. Tuesday, by the date of this world's calendar, was the actual date when it was a Sabbath in 2013. So last week was the last week of the third year. Today is the first week of starting our fourth year attending at this hall. We are members of God's kingdom. We know that. But the world doesn't know. And Christ said something that I'd like you to turn to in John chapter 18, verse 36, sort of as an introduction of sorts to the sermon, just as a reminder, but it'll lead to my saying my SPS and my title. In John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus was answering Pilate, and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world, but brethren, we're grateful that we are part of God's kingdom, at least in embryo right now." Christ continues on. "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? Of course, we do not fight. When God's law is contradictory to man's law, we obey God first." So continuing on, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, that's just a part of the parenthetical thought. But the beginning of the verse says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And at the end of this verse, Christ says, "But now is my kingdom not from hence." As one person from the past that's now awaiting the resurrection might say, and I say it on his behalf, did you get the point? Today, we're going to talk not about the kingdom specifically itself, even though I referred to it, but more in terms of not a message from the past where all the four elements were discussed. What we are going to discuss today is God the King. We're going to discuss it in a number of different phases. The Creator, Christ's prophecies before he became a human being, what Christ did here on earth, what he did for us when he went into the grave before he was raised from the dead, and what will take place when we have first the millennium and then the kingdom. So I would like to title this message, "A Profile of God for Mankind," because we are going to talk about God today. We do always, but in a certain focus in that way. Let us first go to an explanatory scripture, if I use the right word, Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. And read what God says about himself. This is very important. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. "Remember the former things of old. Brethren, how can we remember them other than by what we've been taught and what we see in the scripture? For God says, 'For I am God and there is none else.'" To the world, that might be a bold statement because they don't know God yet. One day they will. But God continues on saying, "I am God and there is none like me." Why would he say that? Well, we're not going to go to that place in Scripture, but you can reference it in your notes. In Acts chapter 17, where the Apostle Paul was, I don't remember the location at the moment, where he saw this altar to the unknown God. Well, they didn't know God, but we will. That's why God says, "I am God and there is none like me." What does he do? Declaring the end from the beginning. We certainly can't do that. We're human beings, physical, but God can. That's a very awesome thing for God. And it says, "And from ancient times, meaning way from the past, the ancient, the things that are not yet done. God knows in advance what's going to take place. Yes, he does. And he says, my counsel shall stand. We should take counsel in his counsel, so to speak. And he says, I will do all my good pleasure. All things, as it says in Romans, work together for good. In the end result. So now we have what God says, but now what did he do? Let us go to the beginning of your Bible, the very first chapter, the very first verse of Genesis, and read Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And it says, very short verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, we know there are three heavens. The first heaven is where the birds and the insects fly. The second heaven are the planets, the galaxies, and the stars. And the third heaven is where God's throne is at this time. It will be on earth later. The Apostle Paul in, I believe it was 2 Corinthians, had a vision about the third heaven. Now, we might be asked a question by people that are newer. Well, did God do this creating by himself? Well, let's go to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. There are people that seem to think that Jesus Christ was a created being. But was he? Let's see what we find in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Here it says, in the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Who is the Word? The Word is from, if I remember correctly, the word logos, meaning spokesman, with God the Father. Well, we'll just read on here, and it says, and the Word was with God. So that clarifies it, doesn't it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And it even clarifies it more here. And the Word was God. How much plainer can we make it? Or how much plainer can God make it, I should say? He says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. By God the Father and Jesus Christ, but at that time a spirit being. And without him was not anything made that was made. Maybe one more clarification to really drive this point home, so to speak. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3 we'll read next. What it says about Jesus Christ from the past before he became a human being. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 3. It says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. And here's part of the clue. But made like unto the Son of God, abiding a priest continually. That is talking about Melchizedek. You can read these scriptures on your own, which I did this past week. The end of Genesis 14 about Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek. And chapter 32, I don't recall if it was the whole chapter or not, but I did read it, where Jacob wanted a blessing from God. So we did have in the past Melchizedek appearing to Abraham and to Jacob. Okay, let's now go to Colossians 1. Verses 15 through 18. We have discovered so far who God is, what he's done. He didn't do it alone, and clarified he didn't do it alone. Well, let's find out now a little bit more of what Christ really did. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. It says here, who is the image of the invisible God. We don't see God yet. When we are spirit, we will. The firstborn of every creature. Well, referring to Christ having already been born in the flesh and having gone back up to heaven till he returns to the earth. For by him were all things created, sort of what we saw in earlier verses, didn't we? That are in heaven and that are in earth, sort of referring to Genesis 1:1, creating the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible. As was said, we can see the visible, but not yet the invisible. Whether they be thrones, yes, different people over the years have had thrones where they've reigned on in different countries around the earth, and dominions, people have ruled over people, principalities or powers. Many times people have used their power in the wrong way, but we know in the future it will be used in the right way. And it says here, all things were created by him, sort of a repetition of the past. And pay attention to this next phrase, please. And for him. What could that mean? I submit to you just my own opinion here. And for him could mean, as we heard someone else from the past who's awaiting the resurrection from the dead, saying, a purpose being put forth and fulfilled here down below. And we continue with the verse. He is before all things, and by him all things consist or exist. Now we'll go to the next phase. We talked about God and Jesus Christ. How about now some scriptures that foretell, even though it's already happened, but looking back, but before Christ became a human being, some scriptures that show that Christ was to come and that God had, you know, decreed in advance what was going to take place. So let's first go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. This is now our second point of, we're not talking prophecy per se in terms of prediction, but prophecy is what is written in advance of things to come, even if it has already occurred, but we are just reviewing these things since we are talking about God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. It says, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness. Who was that? John the Baptist. It says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. John the Baptist did that. Let's now go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, to make this maybe a little clearer and more direct. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Here it says, behold. Wow, that must mean, pay attention. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The messenger was still John the Baptist, but it says, and he shall prepare the way before me, before Christ. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Do we seek the Lord? Yes, we are here, worshiping in God's presence today, seeking God. And he is here in this temple. We don't see him. We are physical, but he is here spiritually, watching over all of us and guiding and directing all of us by his Spirit. Even the messenger of the covenant. Well, there was the old covenant and then the new covenant. We have Matthew 5, 6, and 7 as reference, long chapters to read later, where Christ quoted the Old Testament, It said, this is what it says, but this is what I say. It doesn't mean to change it, just amplify it. Because another reference verse, Isaiah 42:21, says that God will come to magnify the law and make it honorable. Anyway, back to the covenant. It says, whom you delight in. Do we delight in Christ? We are here. I think we do. And it says again, that word behold that came up at the beginning of the verse. He shall come. Who says this? Says the Lord of hosts. That's God the Father. Let's now go to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And we'll get a little more clear on this in regard to Christ and his first coming. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And it says, for unto us a child is born. Yes, Christ was born. And it says, unto us a son is given. We'll talk about Mary a little later. And it says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. We'll talk about that more later too. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. We already mentioned that word before, didn't we? The Mighty God. We have a hymn in our hymnal. Holy Mighty Majesty. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Well, we really do see today that there isn't much peace in the world, is there? Now let's get even closer to Christ's first coming. And go to Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33. Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33. An angel said to Mary, here's that very important word again to pay attention. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Becoming more definite here, more specific. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. We know in the future, God the Father will be in charge of the whole world, not just us now in a small way in this current evil world of Satan. Jesus Christ under him, and then David, and then the 12 apostles, including the one that replaced Judas. Continuing of the verse, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. We really had a play on words with that back 20 some years ago about the forever. And it states here, and of his kingdom. That we're talking about God, but he's in charge of his kingdom. And it says, of his kingdom, there shall be no end. That will be a glorious time, will it not, brethren? Let's now go to another verse in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. At the moment, I'm not finding it, but I know it's here somewhere. Uh-oh. Sorry about that. I tend to think it's really here. Yes, here it is. I overlooked it on the right sheet. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And an angel said to who? These are the shepherds abiding in the field. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, again that word behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy. Joy of Christ coming the first time, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. The Lord. In Handel's Messiah, which some of you may be familiar with, there is a verse in Psalm chapter, I thought I had it on this sheet. Maybe it's on the other. Here it is. Look first. Psalm chapter 24, verse 10. Anyway, in Handel's Messiah, that some of you may be familiar with, the 33rd part is lift up your heads. And at the end of that, it asks a question. So let's read that question and then see what the answer is in Psalm chapter 24, verse 10. It says, here is the question, who is this King of Glory? Let's let the Bible interpret itself, as it says in 2 Peter 1:20, I believe. It says, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory. Very impressive. God is the real King of Glory, one to be worshipped. Now we're going to move to the days of Christ while he was living here on earth. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 22. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 22. Christ quotes some scripture, but we'll lead into it. Initially, I just copied out what he quoted from the Old Testament. Thought, yeah, I could repeat the other, but no, we're here at services. Copy out the verses before and after it so we have the context and I can give it to you straight from the shoulder, as someone used to say. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 22. And he, meaning Christ, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, where he lived there a lot of his life. And as his custom was, what was his custom? Let's read on. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Is not the Sabbath today? We are observing that custom. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, Paul followed Christ. We're following Christ, observing his custom and the fourth of the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath day. What did he do? And he stood up for to read, as I am doing now, though I represent our minister who is in another location today. It says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is what Christ quoted from Isaiah 61. But we'll stay in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. We've had it preached to us. Haven't our eyes been opened? Yes, they have. We are no better than anyone else, but God has called us now to do his work. Get his message out there as a witness. Not to convert the world, but as a witness. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind. Right now we're talking physical. Later we will refer to the spiritual on that specific point. To set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Did Christ say a time? No, we watch trends and news events with scripture and know that Christ will come at the appointed time that his Father will send him for his second coming. So what did he do then? He closed the book and he gave it again to the minister. Well, I don't have a minister to give this stuff to, so I'll keep on reading here, but I have more of a message here for you, obviously. And what did Christ do? He sat down. What was the response of those that were there on that Sabbath? And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They looked at him. They saw him. Well, there is a reference scripture, I think it's Matthew 4:23, off the top of my head, not in my notes, that Christ said that he spoke with authority. So that's what they were probably marveling at, that he spoke with authority and what he said. And Christ began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So they heard his voice and responded accordingly. And all bear him witness of and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, meaning Christ's mouth. Now we will go to another phase, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. After Christ died, what did he do for us, so to speak, leading to our salvation before his death? Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. Actually, I don't have verses written here, but I'm going to go, I'm guessing it's probably part of verse 5. You can find it, or it could be part of verse 6. This is an afterthought, but I would have quoted it anyway. Before we were called into this world, but we didn't know any better at the time. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We didn't know then. But we know now. What did we do unknowingly? We have turned everyone to his own way. There's some pop singer from the past that said, I want to do things my way. No, we have to seek to do things God's way. And now let's go back to the beginning of verse 4. And maybe we'll read right straight through. But I thought it was important to read that little segment first, as opposed to reading it as it came later before the end of verse 6. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Christ surely did. On the upright stake or pale, or what some people call the cross. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. God had to turn himself at one point, and Christ had to do this alone. But Christ knew he had to do it. He says, not my will, not my will, but your be done. And it says, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. What are our transgressions? Our sins. What is sin? The transgression of the law. Reference 1 John 3, verse 4. He was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquities may be another word for sin or lawlessness. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. We will actually skip what I read at the beginning of this segment, since I read it, and just do the last part of the verse. Because it says, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for doing that, and in the advance, giving us salvation. Let's now go to, I'm going to make changes here, temporarily. Too much to copy. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. It was quoted when I had Luke chapter 4 verses 16 to 22 in part. So we're going to read. This is the phase, first initially, of what Christ said he would do on earth, which I sort of already covered, but we'll still read it again from Isaiah 61, and read on from there of what Christ did not read, which is for the future. It says, and I do have verses here, since it's the actual Bible, so I can tell you exactly where I am at any given point. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. I think in Luke it said poor, but either way, and this is all King James for me, regardless of which version any of you are using. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where he stopped. But we are going to read on, because now we are talking not about Christ when he lived or when he died and suffered for us and paid for our sins, but what's going to be coming in the future. What we have to look forward to that God will allow to happen that we will be able to do, and vice versa. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. We had a minister in the past in terms of the Beatitudes, a different one for each holy day. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, future tense, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. What is righteousness? Some reference here, Psalm 119, 172, all thy commandments are righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We're now in verse 4. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Eternal. Yes, there are scriptures that say we will be kings and priests in the millennium and in the kingdom. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. We are teaching now, practicing to be God's ministers under those in authority over us in this time. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourself, but in a good way. For your shame you shall have double, and for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Sort of like Job, after he went through what he did, God gave him more. Reference Job chapter 42. Everlasting joy shall be unto them, for I, the Eternal, love judgment, and I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. Yes, we are supposed to do everything. Christ says, worship him. Reference John 4:24, in spirit and in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. We know Jeremiah 31:31, and in Hebrews 8, I believe it is, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. We are now, the rest of the world will be later. We can look forward to this, brethren. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. There's that word righteousness again. God's commandments are righteous. As a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. We will not read chapter 62, but a lot of very good news there, too. So we are on this last point of things to look forward to. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. Here it is. All these things that will happen, brethren, that I just read from Isaiah 61, leading into the future, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5, it says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." By all what I read, it certainly was revealed, but obviously future tense, not yet, but we know by Scripture that it will be. And it says, all flesh shall see it together. Does not it say in Scripture that one day every knee will bow and all will worship God the Father and Jesus Christ? But we have to take note, who says this? As it says here in this Scripture, Isaiah 40, verse 5, "For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Very important. When God speaks, we should listen. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. Showing who God will be at this time, meaning Jesus Christ. It says in Revelation 19, verse 16, "And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings." He's the big king. We are the small kings. "And Lord of Lords." He is the big Lord. We are the small lords that will serve under him. Why will we do this? Because of Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. This is what will be taking place then. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. In Revelation 11, verse 15, it says, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever." There we are again. Forever and ever means what it says. Forever and ever. Let's now go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. We read chapter verse 6 earlier. We're now going to read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. I believe that it is fitting for what we are talking about at the moment. Kingdoms of the world have become the kings of the Lord and of his Christ. Why? What does it say here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7? It says, "Of the increase of his government." I said we'd come back to this, didn't we? "And peace." No more war anymore. I think it was 2014 or 2013 at Split Rock Resort at Lake Harmony, we had a sermon, "No More War," by the coordinator. Well, anyway, and of the increase of his government and peace, very good news, a lot of bad news today, there shall be no end to this increase of this government and peace. Upon the throne of David, showing that David will be under Christ, as I referenced earlier, without quoting a specific scripture, I don't think. And upon his kingdom, we're not talking directly about the kingdom here. We are talking about God, but he's in charge of the kingdom. What is he going to do? To order it. When he orders it, we know it will happen, because he says anything he starts, he will finish. But it says to order it and to establish it. That really makes it plain, doesn't it? With judgment and with justice. I think we referenced those words earlier too, didn't we? From henceforth, even forever and ever. We're still hearing forever and ever. God means business. This is the way it will be, is what he is telling us. What does he continue to say here? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's now go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. How will this be done, at least in part, once things are settled down and the world is in order, so to speak? I think it's over here, not there. Yes. When Christ returns and all things are in order in the millennium and the kingdom and Satan is bound, what will he do? Many things. We can't cover everything in one message, no matter how short or long it is. But just to mention one thing here, Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 11. And he shall feed his flock. Brethren, isn't he doing that with us now? How much more glorious when he will be doing it for the whole world, when they want to know God's way. Their mind has been opened. And it says here, feed his flock like a shepherd. Christ is our shepherd. He will give the kingdom to God the Father later on, but he will still be our shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. Christ is very strong. And carry them in his bosom. And, as it says in another place in Scripture, before I read this last little segment of this verse, a still small voice, and another, I think that was with Elijah, when God was dealing with him at one point, and another place, I think it's Isaiah 30:21 reference, this is the way, go ye there. Let's now read the conclusion of this verse. And shall gently lead those that are with young, even the mothers with the children. All will be cared for. Brethren, today we have talked about God ruling his kingdom. He stated who he was, what he created. He didn't do it alone. And more specifically, what he created when we went to Colossians. Then we showed some prophecies of Christ to come before he came, knowing that what God says, he will perform it. Then we talked about Christ in Luke, what he read from Isaiah, the things that he accomplished in his life. At least that was what I quoted there, apart from anything else that we could have quoted. There isn't time for it all. Then we showed that Christ suffered and died for our sins to give us salvation. Then we showed in Isaiah 61, when I told you you could read 62, and obviously many other places, for a lot of other good news of what will be in the millennium and the kingdom. and then showed of Christ being King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and that he will have his government be increased, and the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he'll reign forever. In hearing all this, brethren, can we be more steadfast in our lives and all that we do, and getting the job of the gospel out as a witness to the world, in everything else that we do in our life, that we want Christ to return to reign under him? God certainly speed that day.
Thank you, Mr. Turkowitz. Now we'll have one more hymn. So if you will turn in your hymnal to page 172, we will sing As For Me and My House on page 172. Please be seated, and I have a few announcements today. Most of you probably received Mr. Lord's Sabbath note, which he puts out on the internet, which he sends us weekly. This week, he emphasized the reading of the Bible program, there are copies back there on the table. So that's the Bible reading program that he'd like you all to get a copy of and follow through. One announcement about Joan Henniker. As many of you know, Joanne Henniker was to have surgery Monday in order to take care of a gallbladder issue. Unfortunately, she's contracted laryngitis and has to postpone her surgery. Please pray that she recovers quickly, so that she can have the necessary procedure done. And a note here about Emily Bowman. Mr. Lord says, I received news this week from the Bowmans that Emily is feeling better. She's able to get some schoolwork done with the help of a tutor. The Bowmans are asking us all to continue praying for Emily's complete recovery. And then we have an announcement about Spokesman's Club. The Buffalo Spokesman's Club will end its break and meet this coming Tuesday, March 1st, 2016. Please join us at 7 o'clock here in the council room, conference room, which is across the hall. The assignments have been sent out by our club president, Mr. John Henderson. If you have any questions, please see the president, Aaron Henderson. And next Sabbath, services will be here in this hall at the usual time at 11 o'clock, and Central New York will meet at 11 o'clock down in their regular church hall in Burdett. And let's see. And that is about it. There is a camp update from Ken Trebig. We're pleased to announce that the 2016 dates for our preteen and teen camps are posted on the website. So if you're involved in that, the website is the place to go for that. I will put this back there. I also might add a little bit. He adds a little bit. Thank you for your patience over the past years as we work with a somewhat awkward application system. Now that a system is being developed internally for all our needs, Feast, Young Adult Leadership, Winter Family Weekend, and so on, we are working to include our camps in that system. Okay, our goal is to provide you with a much easier to use application system for camps, including an integrated photo system upload. However, this will be the biggest and in many ways the most complicated part of the new system, so we wanted to give you advance notice that the start of registration might be delayed a little bit this year, depending on what the complications might be encountered. While that might be a slight inconvenience, we believe that you'll agree that it will be worthwhile the wait. So the church is upgrading its computer system, I guess I'll call it, say. And with that, I think that's the extent of the announcements.